I speak to you in God's holy name. God, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. These are challenging and uncharted times for us all. I thought it was fitting that the lectionary schedule for today would have us read the Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, which we also read recently at Sylvia Laughlin's funeral. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. You make me lie down in green pastures and lead me beside still waters. You revive my soul and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These are powerful words that have comforted many thousands and thousands of people over well over 3,000 years. And it takes us back to a time when shepherds were walking along together and people walking along together in pilgrimage and would recite these psalms as they walked. It was a time of great fear and a great uncertainty. And yet in the midst of the fear and the uncertainty, they had the understanding that they were not alone, that the Lord is their shepherd. As they were guiding sheep, they knew that they were also shepherded, that they had a sense of God's presence with them, dwelling in them and being round about them and taking them from trouble to better pastures. A very real and a very comforting thought for us today in this time of COVID-19. John's Gospel today talks about his healing a person who had been blind from birth. In Jesus' day, it was thought that illness, all things came because of sin. That if you were unclean, you were a sinner. You got illness because you were a sinner. Blindness came because somebody was a sinner. Either the child as a fetus was a sinner or the parents were sinners. Everything was thought to be sin because when you were less than perfect, when you had illness, you were somehow separated and unclean. And if you were separated from God and unclean, you were a sinner. They had no idea about science. They had no idea about viruses. They had no idea about bacteria. They did know from experience that if you were clean, you were likely to stay more healthy than if you were dirty. And so if you went to the temple, you had to wash before you could go in. And that's why at every entrance to the temple, there was a pool. And everybody who went to temple went in and had a bath and then put on temple clothing. So they were clean going before God. And this cleanliness also made them healthier. When Jesus found the blind man, he healed him. This, of course, we know was written about 80 years after the time of Jesus. John's Gospel was written about that far along. And so by this time, the church had put together its Christology and was more sophisticated, making everything that it wrote down as metaphorical, an understanding, a sign of something that was deeper and greater. And so the healing of the blind man, and we know from other parts, we often called him Bartimaeus, but the healing of the blind man, as John refers to him, was all about coming to see clearly Jesus and to get beyond the muddled understanding that the Pharisees were proclaiming and in Jesus' time. Seeing your sight, having sight, means that you saw sunlight and you could see clearly Jesus. And as John reports, as long as I am in the world, says Jesus, I am the light of the world. And when he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes. Now, we understand easily about Jesus being the light of the world, but we often wonder what the mud is all about. Well, the mud is actually, the spit represents the spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the power of God, coming and mixing with the reality of the earth. And together it makes a mud. It transforms the earth into a new substance, which is healing. Healing that goes, this mud goes over and brings healing. Now, we know over the years, people have made poultices. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, we had to live with mud poultices more than once. And my mother would put a mud poultice on us if we had a bee sting, or if we'd been in the woods and come across some plants that we have a reaction to. We'd come back from playing and my brother and I, our legs would be just really big. And she would make a mud poultice and put it on and muck us all up and then bind it with an old sheet. And we'd have to wear it the rest of the day. But come nighttime, you take the sheet off, you wash off the mud, and lo and behold, the sting had gone, the swelling had gone, and it was amazing. And she said, "Now, that's a poultice from God." And we would just go off to bed and happy. But the idea of this was early medication, but it's more of a sign that God is mixing with the world and that together we have wholeness. We have healing. And I think that's important to remember today, as some people are questioning about the science of what people are trying to do to help stem the tide of the surge of COVID-19, the virus, and are questioning, why do we have to stay in place? Why do we have to be careful? Well, we don't have any other tools at this time. And through both medical science and statistical science, the mathematicians have worked with the scientists, and they have projected the number of people who might get sick if we don't stay in place, compared to the number of people who will get sick staying in place, as we were being cautioned to do at this time. The difference is 100-fold. If we don't stay in place, the virus will run wild because it's easily caught, and there'll be 100 times more people sick and dying than if we follow this current method. It's not just to not overwhelm the hospitals, but it's also to prevent the virus from having any new hosts to spread to. And so it will just stop. And it's a very good thing. It's one of the ways, in fact, how the Black Plague was ended. I mean, it ran rampant for sure. But those who survived, like King Henry VIII, he stayed in his room for over a year. Now, he's not a great hero. He's not one of my heroes. But he did have smarts enough to stay in a room and stay isolated. It's a whole new understanding of Henry. Not one that I had before, that's for sure. Anyway, we have to see clearly about God working in the earth and on the earth. We know that Jesus is the light of the world, and he brings to us healing and insight, and that we are called to use this today in this most difficult time. I'm also interested in the gospel that there was this almost dialogue between the blind man and the Pharisees. And I was impressed always and have been for all my life how the blind man who had been rescued, his sight had been restored, would not let these powerful people who were naysayers persuade him away from believing in Jesus. That even though he was young, because obviously his parents were about and they said he is of age, let him speak for himself. So I'm imagining somebody who was about 14 or 15 years old, because the age of majority at that time, when you were considered to be an adult, was 14. So he would be of age, because they started having babies when they were 15 or 16, he would be speaking for himself. And he would not be pushed away from knowing the love of Jesus and following the power of God, despite what the Pharisees were saying. And how it is in our time, we have to have our values set firmly in Jesus, set firmly in love. And so in this time of uncertainty, I invite you to fix your values in love, not be tempted or led by others to other people, but to be loving, be inclusive, be caring. And if you are in a position where you can help a neighbor safely, then do it. If you know of somebody who is generally an extrovert, but now they're in home, give them a phone call. You can have coffee. You can make coffee at home, and they can have a coffee, and you can drink coffee as you are on the phone together. We don't have to be in isolation. We have to be in isolation, but not social isolation. We can still call our neighbors. And I encourage you to do that. The wardens and I will be calling you, because we care about you and we love you and we don't want you to be in isolation. Together with the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of God and the vision of Jesus, we will get through this difficult time. May God bless us all as we journey together. Amen.